Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, this is Commodity Week. It was recorded the fourth day of September 2009. The numbers in Chicago were dismal this week, but on the flip side, it looks like there might be a whole lot more crop to sell than first thought. We'll try to figure out if the two balance out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Gavin McGuire. He's director of eHedger in Chicago. Our panelists today in studio are Greg Johnson of the Andersons out of Champaign, Illinois, Dale Durkles from AgriVisor in Normal, Illinois, and Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities in Hudsonville, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Let's start today's program with this question. Earlier in the year, we asked if there might be any early ship opportunities for producers to gather premium for either corn or soybeans. The answer at that point was no, but of course, August was awfully cold. Has it changed? We'll start with you, Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
I think there'll be quick shipment premiums, especially in soybeans. The pipeline is almost empty. It'll take a while to replenish that pipeline. And while we are seeing old crop basis levels come down, you have to remember they started at a $2 and some premium to that new crop bid. So even though we've lost a dollar maybe this week, we're still looking at a dollar over. And each week for the next 4 weeks, we'll probably erode a little bit of that. But that's still a pretty good premium for early shipment beans and corn, possibly the same way. The difference with corn is farmers can dry that down and get that to market a little bit quicker. But even as of today, there's still about a 20 to 25 cent premium for old crop corn versus all fall.
Dale Durkles of AgriVisor.
In beans in particular, you know, for some of those new crop beans, because of this tight old crop inventory we're dealing with, yeah, you know, for very early harvest, quick ship, we're going to still find some premium until harvest really throttles up. Corn, I would say simply because of the supplies we're dealing with, there's going to be a little less opportunity there unless somebody is really early on the ball game.
And Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities.
Yeah, I'd agree with Dale. I mean, I think there could be on the beans, especially if you're in the right location. Corn, probably the same thing because of the supply we have on hand right now.
Well, quick shipment premiums is at the end of the good news for the day. Let's start with the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade in the bean pit. Nearby September contract had a high this week of $11.47. It's low at $9.58. With the settlement price not far above that at $9.61, it finished week to week, Friday to Friday, $1.74¾ lower. November soybeans at $9.22, down 89 cents. Dale Durkles, how much more downside might there be in this marketplace?
Well, in the beans, September I don't care about because that's an expiring contract, and we've had cash off the November for quite some time anyway. But looking at the November specifically, you know, you'll have some psychological support maybe around the $9 mark. I've got a swing target that's at $8.93, $8.94, and then we can go back to the July low it had at $8.81. So I think somewhere between $8.81 and $9, this break anyway, is probably going to come to an end.
This break. We'll come back to that and let you talk about that in a moment. So if we're looking at that price on the market in the time that you're going to be delivering soybeans, probably in the next month or month and a half or so, What do you do as a producer? Do you sell them over the scale? Do you repurchase them on the board in some form? What happens with that marketplace?
As a producer, I think I would probably buy some puts on those for right now and not sell them over the scale.
Greg?
If that premium, that quick shipment premium we were just talking about is still there, the only way you can take advantage of that is to either sell those beans and then re-own them via calls or futures, or perhaps put them on a basis contract, which is basically the same thing. But if that premium is 40, 50 cents, I think you probably don't want to pass that up.
Come back to the breaks. You said the first break, you've got more breaks in the marketplace for soybeans?
No, not really, because we are going to come into a window here. We're in the early part of it for an 8 to 9 week low. So I'm not so sure that this thing's got a lot more strength or a lot more downside energy really here in the very short term itself. Also tying in a little bit to corn, because these two are going to kind of play hand in hand. We're coming into a window for a 20 and 40 week cycle low, and that's always haunted me wondering, what do we have in store for weather at the end of September, early part of October? That's a question that haunts me at this point.
Does it haunt you as well?
Oh, it does, yes. I mean, a lot of our beans around home were planted the end of June, so you're basically looking at double crop beans. And we need good weather through September because maturity-wise, we're sitting there basically like it's August 4th instead of September 4th.
Well, let me give you some numbers then. These are from a whole series of folks on the average crop size. Of course, USDA next week will come out with its next crop production report. I won't tell you who they're from. Well, maybe we will. Allendale at 3.3 billion bushels, Inform at 3.3. FC Stone at 3.2. USDA, of course, was at a 3.1 the last time around, and the Lynn Group at a 3.3. So everybody's somewhere up there at 3.2.5 to a 3.3. That's a pretty darn good-sized bean crop. And then you've got 6 months later another one coming on in South America. And honestly, if you look at a November bean price at $9.22, it's still probably at break-even or above. I would think farmers are be hard-pressed to figure out what they really need to do at this point.
That all depends. You know, at this particular juncture, you know, a lot of the better producers anyway are probably pretty well comfortably sold at this juncture to at least go in, go through harvest and wait the game out and see what we're going to be on the backside. In the bean market in particular, one thing you don't want to forget, it's that 500 million bushel we got on the books for new crop export sales. And that means once we get into harvest and those beans become available, you know, we're probably going to have a real aggressive ship program put in place.
Yeah, I would say, too, that it looks like the bean yield is going to be that good. But past history would suggest that that can vary by one or two bushels very easily. We have not had any stress on the crop to speak of since we got planted. But some of these crop tours that are going on are finding low pod counts. The same crop tours that are finding the excellent corn yields are also reporting low pod counts. So I'd say the jury is still out on beans.
Well, let's poll the jury here. I know we've gotten some numbers from Dale already, but would you be more bearish or more bullish at this point? And you can be friendly or neutral if you want. To the bean market.
Yeah, Dale said there might be 40 cents downside, and there's more upside than that if we have any problems. So when you weigh the risk versus the reward, I would rather be long beans and risk 40 cents rather than be short beans and who knows risking how much there.
I agree with that. I think there is upside potential to the beans because of the lateness of some of the crops. I don't believe the yield is as big as what some of these firms are saying it is. South America is not going to be shipping any beans out, so we're really the only market to export beans. So I think that the possibility of a rally is there.
Dale, just so we have it all together in one spot, where are you on it?
I would rather be more friendly than bearish. I'm not a bear right here. I just don't think playing the short side is correct. The other overriding thing people need to remember, and Greg kind of alluded to it here, if we miss on the downside, S&D tables on beans get silly tight real quick. And you can't ignore that at this particular juncture, because I was really surprised on Friday, you know, people going home comfortably short across the long holiday weekend, cold weather coming next week or cooler weather coming next week. Can you imagine what happens if you come in Tuesday morning and people say, ooh, it's going to get dangerously cold next weekend? And you can't predict a frost any more than roughly 3 to 4 days out. I was shocked at people's cavalier attitude on Friday afternoon.
We'll see how that turns out for them.
Oh, yeah. You know, you don't know. But, Tuesday. I mean, I was just surprised about it.
Let's turn our attention to the corn market. September contract at a high for the week at $3.26 and a quarter, a low at $3. Settlement price at $3.25. It was off 20.5 cents from last week. December corn at $3.06, down 22.75. Is there any good news in the corn market to speak of? There is a lot of silence.
The best news that you can say, you know, the one thing I keep talking to people about when you look at corn prices themselves, last December we put a low in at 290, nearby futures.
Right.
We spent a part of 2 days below $3, and I thought that was really significant and still a significant price level, because if you go back into last December, you put that low in place at that juncture at what I call maximum negative emotional pressure. We all remember the fears about everything then. And I think it's interesting that, you know, we're coming back down against this at this point. And over the last week, almost 2 weeks now, you know, the downside movement in corn prices has been they have to work to go down more than they did before. And it's like we're sensitive to those prices out there at that point. We're sensitive to the $3 mark at this point. So I really question whether there's a lot of downside risk in corn at this juncture.
Either of the two of you have a disagree with that?
Well, we went through the old low today like it wasn't even there, I thought. I mean, I agree with Dale. I was a little surprised of the bearishness going home on a Friday on a three-day weekend, but that old low did not hold at all. We went down and matched the low, or got close to the low we had on October 9th in 2006. So, I mean, there is some more downside potential there if we have good weather, if the crop keeps getting bigger, like some of these other analysts are saying. So, you know, there's still something there you can do as a producer. You can still buy puts if you don't want to sell your crop. A $3 put still is at 16 cents. It's not bad money. But, you know, there are some other folks out there that think corn could go all the way down to 270 or lower. So if you're sitting there with old corn on hand that you haven't sold and you still don't have a lot of new corn sold yet, I think you still have to do something.
Here are the ways some of the folks are describing the corn crop now in size before the USDA numbers come out next week. Allendale says it's a 13-1 crop in form at 13 billion even. FC Stone at a 13 billion crop, and the Lynn Group at a 13 billion crop. USDA, of course, was at what, 12.7 crop. Yeah, I see a number there that's wrong, but that 12.7 makes more sense to me. So everybody seems to think there's more corn out there. Did you have to make more space in your elevator to get ready for it?
I think we will have that kind of corn in Champaign County. I mean, it's going to vary. I think as you get into south into southern Illinois, there's going to be more nitrogen loss and more losses. But I think Champaign County is looking at a record yield in corn. I can't speak for a lot of other counties, but from what we've seen, it's out there in Champaign County.
Out there in Champaign County, is it there in Sherman? You're shaking your head. Not where you are? Is that
not
right?
Necessarily, no, not necessarily where we're at. I think we've got a good crop if we have a good finish, but I don't think it's as good as it was last year in our area. We just had it planted too late. A lot of acres were drowned out. A lot of acres had to be replanted. And there were several acres that never got planted at all to corn or beans in our area.
The U of I Ag Economist, of course, released a FEFO, I think it was a FEFO, Facts Economic, Farm Economics Facts and Opinions note on Friday. One way or the other, it'll be in our weekend newsletter. If you subscribe to that at willag.org, it's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe, and there'll be a link to it. And it showed some Iowa numbers that were just spectacular based on weather, with the worst-case scenario on the weather in the month of August, that is, at 188, and that's bigger than what USDA said Iowa was when they came out in August.
You know, there's still a couple of issues we've got to deal with here, you know, and the U of I model's based on temperature and moisture. They also give some credit to planting data in amongst that. Now, Iowa, we planted normal. But I've talked to somebody that's wandered through a fair amount of eastern Iowa and western Illinois and northwestern Illinois. And he said, you know, two things jumped out at him. Number one, ear girth didn't seem to be there on corn in some fields he had been in. The second thing that he had noted, and even as he talked to some other people, he's seen an awful lot and heard an awful lot of corn that's probably one, how did he put this? We're one stage behind in the maturation process at this point with an awful lot of corn. So the question really becomes, will we have the kernel depth to give us these incredible yields that people want to talk about? And that's something we don't know. We probably will get an insight on that in the USDA number coming up, because they will do some early ear measurement. And again, they will assume normal end of season. So their ear weight's going to be interesting to see what they plug in.
You are listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. We'll return in just a moment when we'll talk with Gavin McGuire. He's the director at eHedger. Our guest in studio, you just heard, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, Sherman Newland at Risk Management Commodities, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. High pressure settled in over the Midwest at the beginning of the week and only slowly moved east across the Great Lakes as the week progressed. The result was cool and dry weather across Illinois for much of the week. The only fly in the ointment, so to speak, and it was a small one, were some weak upper-level disturbances that swung through the state at the middle of the week. These produced some cloudiness and one or two light showers in far southern Illinois. With Canadian high pressure sitting over us all week and only slowly modifying, temperatures continued to be well below normal. With highs only in the 70s and lows in the 40s to 50s, temperatures were 10 to 12 degrees below normal. A number of record lows and record low maximum temperatures were broken this week in Illinois. There was little precipitation during the week, aside from those isolated showers in southern Illinois toward the middle and end of the week, but there is a chance we could see more rain as the next week approaches. The high will move to the northeastern United States over the weekend. As a result, winds will swing into the southeast and south, bringing in somewhat warmer and more humid air for next week. A few air mass type showers and thunderstorms will be possible early in the week, but then a cold front approaching Illinois late in the week may bring a better chance of rain to Illinois next Friday into Saturday. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Todd Gleason. This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on September the 4th, 2009. Our panelists in studio today, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Our guest by phone is Gavin McGuire. He's a director at eHedger. Good afternoon to you, Gavin.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being with us, and thank you so much for coming to the Farm Progress Show last week. We appreciated that greatly. Hope you had a good time.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and a pleasure also to be on the show again.
And wonderful to have you here. Tell me how you view the corn market.
Well, it's certainly been on the receiving end of a pretty historic drubbing. I was just looking at the market over the course of the week, and a year ago today, September 4th, as we record the show, we closed at $6. So quite the difference in a year, and I think that has kind of startled me a little bit right now, and I'm sure a lot of producers also. So, I mean, I was bearish a dollar higher, but I'm starting to think this is a market that I would like to be an owner of, although I still think that we could have another 50 cents before we see the bottom of this market, unfortunately. And it's a painful predicament for many producers who are maybe undersold. We had a great chance to sell above $4, but I think, unfortunately, a great many will be selling most of their corn in the twos.
Gavin, this is Sherman. Do you feel like next Friday the USDA will raise the yields as much as the private analysts did?
I think we're nearing a high watermark of those yield assessments. I don't think the USDA will be quite so aggressive in the upward revision. I think they indicated, you know, they set the table, so to speak, by raising it quite aggressively last time around. I don't think they'll top the 160 mark. I'd be surprised if they do. That would be enormous. So I think they'll probably maybe creep up a little bit from before, but I'd be surprised if they really were to do it. It's hard to get so bearish at this stage after we've fallen so far, and the USDA, if they did that, could spark a bit of a panic and really force us lower, and I don't think it's in their interest to do that. Plus, I think, as you guys rightly pointed out, the corn market still has quite some ways to go in many areas and is uneven. The good stuff looks great, but there's bad stuff that looks okay, but upon close inspection doesn't have some of the attributes you would require for a really, truly enormous global, you know, national yield record. So we think we're probably, you know, things, you know, when things are bad, the people, I think analysts tend to try to impress one another by going as low as possible. And in this environment, it seems like we've been trying to do the opposite. Think, oh, yeah, I think we're going to have 170. What do you think about that? All of that is a bit silly. Let's wait a few more weeks. We were very late getting started. Let's not get carried away here.
Gavin, what's your personal take on what the corn and bean yields might ultimately end up being in the end?
Well, personally, it's very hard to tell. I've had numerous trips recently around Illinois. That, I think, to us, is the key state to determine the national yield. And it's really hard to get a read on what that state is going to come out. I think there's no doubt Iowa and Nebraska are going to be impressive on the upside. And records there, I think, look likely to be broken if they avert a frost. Illinois has a lot to stay. Obviously, the second biggest producer. You can find tales of great woe down there in towards south of Decatur. Really, guys had a terrible time getting it planted, and it shows in many areas. But there are also horror stories, almost, of huge yields being reported and early runs on the yield monitors. So we're going to have a mixed bag there. It'll come through in waves. I think ultimately just shy of 159, something is what I'm thinking, maybe just shy of 160. But the market will have a tough ride, because I think early reports of early harvest are going to be very impressive, but that might be the best of it. So it's going to be an interesting harvest season, I think, to say the least.
Gavin, I'm trying to find something friendly in this corn market, and we haven't heard it from the production side. How about from the outside markets? Do the speculators get excited about possibly inflation, deficit spending, weaker dollar? Is there anything that we can hang our hat on other than an early frost?
I think there is things to hang your hat on. The speculator inflation trade story, though, I think is one that has been told for many months by now. I think that's why gold is knocking on $1,000 an ounce. The dollar is a key story there also. But, you know, we've been hearing stories of investors wading into the commodities quite aggressively now for quite a few months on the back of that reflation expectation. So they're already in here. And maybe there's another final burst, but I think big investors are already in. But that's not to say that we're not going to see some upside here. We look for real indicators of the consumption side of the story to be leading us out of here. And I think investors going forward are going to be more selective. They're going to go into the markets that they like the look of from a fundamental perspective. And we think the cheaper corn gets, the better it looks. That's obviously not a huge insight. Nobody is paying us for that kind of strategy. But we think you look at the ethanol guys, they're already obviously making some money right now. The cattle industry is starting to peak back into the profitable territory. We obviously have a lot of room for improvement on the feeding side of things. But cheap corn is the best possible feeding ingredient you can get your hands on for many of these guys. So we think we're getting somewhat close to being towards the bottom of this market. We then would love to see a real global participation in the feeding side of things. That will really get corn, U.S. corn prices back up above $4 where they belong.
How much of a tie to the crude oil market do you see with corn? I know it's been touted in and out over the years. And where might crude be headed at this time?
Crude has been such a major driver of corn for most of the past 18 months that it's hard to ignore it, and we do follow it very closely. But it is interesting to note that actually quite recently things have deviated a little bit on that market. And it's hard to know whether or not that's a temporary issue or whether we've now dislocated corn from now on. I think we'll probably see a reversion to them trading in tandem once harvest is out of the way. But for now, the recent trend in crude oil has been that, you know, we struggle to get much beyond the $74 mark. I think we see meaningful increases in inventories, but not on the usage side up at those levels. And you have to bear in mind, our inventories of oil are actually pretty ample, certainly, you know, several year highs. So the high prices we're seeing are a reflection of people looking down the road, hoping that demand will pick up globally. And we're in a kind of a holding pattern somewhere in the 64 to 74 trading range until we see a confirmation of a true global pickup. So we think crude is probably going to remain on that kind of sideward trend, and that will be somewhat supportive for the corn market, I think, as the year rounds out. So we're nearing some lows for the corn market, but we probably won't be able to rally meaningfully until we see a global demand story picks up that also boosts crude oil.
Gavin, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Gavin McGuire is a director at eHedger. Now time for a final word from our analyst in studio. They include Greg Johnson of the Andersons.
With a potential big crop staring us in the face, it may be time to play defense on corn, and that includes the old-fashioned go back to locking in the carry in the market and have your bins make you some money.
Dell Durkles of AgriVisor.
From a longer-term perspective, one thing producers ought to be keeping in mind out there, corn and wheat are cheap relative to just about everything else, gold, soybeans, crude oil, you name it. You know, so I think that's something from the investment medium that's going to start to get some attention.
And Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities.
I agree. I think there is short-term, there's some more downside possibly into the corn and beans, but I think eventually after we get through the gut slot of harvest, we'll probably try and rally this back.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week, something to keep in mind. You can always check us out on the web. The site is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. It's all at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.